There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't sex?
I'm Christina Hutton.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your disgusting boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Welcome to another exciting episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome.
Thanks for turning those headphone volumes up, Mikey. This sounds way better. Hey, you want to email us? You need advice? You got a crazy story? You got a weird situation happening? You seeing red flags, but you don't want to do anything about it? And you want to be told? Sorry about last night's show at gmail.com. Today's subject line is your part in my ugly breakup. Girl, you're welcome. Hi, ladies. This is more of a PSA than a question, but I hope you'll read it anyway to help other women who might be in a similar situation to the one I found myself in many years ago, which you unknowingly helped me get out of.
Great job, I asked.
Yay, we did it. We're the best.
I have been dating my boyfriend for about 2 years in November 2016, and I genuinely thought he was the one. We had a seemingly great relationship. We were living together, lots of productive plans for the future, great sex, etc. Looking back, there were plenty of problems, but I was in my 20s, and every other guy I dated sucked, so I didn't have a great reference point. One evening, I came home, and he was laying on the bed on his phone with his arm up over his head, and I poked him in the armpit to get his attention. He sat upright, looked at me with a look of total revolution, and slapped me across the face.
I'm guessing she means revulsion.
Yeah. Yeah, because revolution is...
Oh, I guess it could be, this is a man revolution.
Yeah.
It starts with me.
I immediately started crying. He got upset and tried to leave, and I begged him to stay and forgive me because my panic response is to fawn so the person won't hurt me again. Girl, I feel you. It's fucking infuriating to witness yourself have that response sometimes. I totally get it. Anyway, the next few weeks were obviously very turbulent. I asked him to go to therapy to address his anger issues since he'd also punched a hole in the wall before this happened.
Oh,
he told me I should be the one in therapy. Of course he did tell you that. Because my experience with violence in the home growing up was obviously causing me to have an issue with this. Yeah, his violence? Correct. He was gaslighting me into believing I was blowing it out of proportion since it only happened once. You are correct.
Happened twice if he sent it to the hole in the wall. And then you slapped you across the face.
Yeah, just because he punched something that wasn't you doesn't mean that wasn't violent. One afternoon when I was getting ready for work and listening to your podcast, he walked into the room and asked if I was listening to you because of what happened. Quote, for some reason, his idea that I could only enjoy your show and feel empowered as a woman was because of his asshole behavior was so completely douchey, it made me something click into place. I started opening up to my friends about what happened, and one of them said, quote, I just keep thinking, what if this happened to my little sister? Which made me think of things, think things over objectively, and what advice I would give to someone I love in my situation. I left right after that and have been married to a wonderful man for several years now who is great at communicating and doesn't hit walls or people.
Nice.
Yay.
He doesn't hit. Yay. Keep those hands to yourself, boo. Except when you're fingering me. I hadn't listened to your podcast in a long time. And when I discovered it again, I thought it would be good to spread the message to anyone listening who might need to hear this. What if it happened to someone you loved? What advice would you give them? Do that for yourself, because if they hit you, they aren't worth it. I promise.
Well, I like she snuck in a little abuse towards us that she stopped listening to the show for several years.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Uh-oh.
Thanks for your small part in my self-worth realization many years ago, ladies. You're the best.
Nice. Glad you got out of that terrible relationship and into a great one.
Yeah. I love that. I love that was a complete email in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Guys, come see us live. If you are listening on Luminary this week, I'm in Toronto, Ontario. Headlining Comedy Bar, Friday, July 28th, Saturday, July 29th, two shows each. I will say hi after the shows, or definitely at least after the late shows. Depends on the turnover, you know what I mean? But come to those shows. Los Angeles, I'm at the Comedy Store August 2nd. San Diego, August 3rd through 5th. Fort Worth, Texas, a.k.a. Dallas, a.k.a. wherever you want to call it. I'm going to be at Hyenas August 11th and 12th. Go to ChristinaHutchinson.com. For all those tickets, I have a Patreon that I'm very proud of. And August is the last month. It's going to be $5 a month. You have four group Zoom therapy and quotes sessions that I do. All the audio from those sessions are uploaded into Patreon. So it's kind of like a private podcast for you guys where I where you just kind of talk about what's going on in your life and I ask you questions. I got to say, it's fucking fascinating. I really, really enjoy it. People come. There's a lot of men that have been coming in. I really appreciate that. And a lot of diversity in severity of problems, level, like, I don't know. People got problems, man. And it's really refreshing to listen to somebody talk about something they're going through, whether it's big or small. It just gives you perspective. And I think perspective is a very valuable tool in trying to manage how you look at your own life. So you could come in, you could chat with me, and it's all for $5 a month up until August. So sign in, get your rates, patreon.com/ChristinaHutchinson.
And then, of course, you can continue listening to Without a Country, as so many of you have been doing. I appreciate it. It's on YouTube now. On Wednesdays, we made it even earlier in the week because the news is not evergreen. So we wanted to get it to you as fast as possible. So that's Without a Country channel on YouTube. Just click subscribe, even if that's not the way you listen, just to get more eyes on the show. And then, of course, send in those domestic violence emails to withoutacountrypodcast@gmail.com. If you're not familiar with the show, we do. I have this like theory that pretty much everyone is like one degree of separation from someone who was either killed or severely injured as a result of domestic violence. And this is like a fun theory I'm tossing around, a little party game, you know, an anecdote for the water cooler. So you can send those to withoutacountrypodcast@gmail.com. Even if you don't listen to the show, I suppose you can do that. And, Washington, D.C. I'm going to start going on tour more next year and maybe a little bit in the fall. But Washington, D.C. is the first date and the tickets are up. So I just figured I would tell you about it. I'll be at the Comedy Loft for a full weekend, Thursday, February 29th through Saturday, March 2nd. It's a 5-show weekend. D.C., I love you. You're always a really fun show. So start buying tickets for that now so I can sell it out by the time I get there. And the Linktree link in my bio on Instagram has that. I'm at Philanthropy Gal.
I'm at Christina Hutch.
And I am at Mike Coscarelli.
Together we are at Guys We Fucked Without the You and Fuck. That's on YouTube. That's on the TikTokers. That's on the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram. So follow us.
We'll start a Threads too. If that catches on, we had to wait a second and see if that was catching on.
I can't tell yet.
Not
I
sure.
I post on it, but I'm like, eh.
Not sure what's going on there.
I feel like the world does not need one more social media platform, but maybe we do. And I'm being closed-minded.
Well, Elon's turning Twitter into X, and he said he's knocking the Twitter bird off the building with a blowtorch, I believe he said.
Okay.
So it's X now. Very, I don't know, it's fun. Like the X-Men?
Yeah, I guess
so. A little X-Men-y.
He's obsessed with the letter X.
Okay. Good for him.
Little Elon fact.
Okay. Oh, Elon, you're just crazy. In a fun way. You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less
than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Okay, so I went to hang out with my friend who has a 3-month-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and she's like a friend that she's one of my most favorite people on this planet. I love her so much.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Known her since I was 19. We went to college together. We both transferred in the same college. We have like crazy stories under our belts together of like drinking and being on the bars and like titties out and like all just great stories. And I went to her home last week, I believe, or 2 weeks ago. I think it was last week, because I would have talked about it on the intro last week if it happened. And she put her beautiful 3-month-old daughter in my arms.
Uh-oh.
And I want a baby yesterday.
Yeah. I knew where the story was going.
Where's
the chart? Where's the chart?
It's yesterday I want a baby.
It is so funny that you said that, because literally this weekend I went to a barbecue with all my high school friends in Union. And I was like telling my mom who dropped me off, I was like, you know how women say like they can feel their ovaries moving? I go, I must not have them, because I've never like felt like had a baby in my arms and like felt whatever these people are saying with like,
I mean,
ovaries.
You don't feel it in your ovaries. You do not.
I mean, I know that's like just a saying, obviously.
Yeah. But your heart explodes.
Literally so funny that you said that, because I was so excited to meet this dog that I had never met at the party before. And it exceeded my expectations. Rosie, you're a treasure. You're a treasure.
Ava, he's looking at you, kid. You're also a treasure. And I loved witnessing her be a mother being in a couple months into being a new mother. She really, I mean, I imagine it's probably there's stressful parts that I did not see, but I'm like, damn, you're really holding it together in a way that's very impressive to me, that I'm like, okay, I could also be like a calm mom. Like,
well,
she's
a no bullshit kind of person. So yeah. I feel like she would just be like, this is what's happening.
She truly.
Yeah.
But also being loving at the same time. She's just great. And so, yeah, I held that baby and I was like, uh-oh. Oh, it's going down.
It's been that long since you held a baby?
My nephew was 7. Oh. I was 8.
Oh, okay.
I held him when he was born.
People are always trying to place babies in my hand. That's rude. I don't know.
That's rude.
8-year-olds don't make you want to have kids.
No, not at all.
Ones
you're related to might, but.
I was just surprised that it had been that long since the last baby hold, because I've definitely held babies in that time period.
She was just so sweet, and she grabbed onto my fucking finger. and like held onto it tight.
It is so funny. That also happened to me this weekend.
With the dog?
No. There was lots of babies at this place too. And a baby also held onto my finger. And like, I thought it was cool, but just cause I was like more like in a scientific way. I was like,
oh, baby can hold a pencil.
I love this baby strength.
Yeah. I really, I was like, damn, man. And I was trying to make her laugh. And she like, I guess one of like, I brought my Polaroid camera over. I love Polaroids because they're truly a moment in time that you can't alter. And they're so special. And what?
That's such a you say.
Yeah. Like as any other picture.
No, but it's just like, you know.
It's just the exact moment and you get the receipt immediately.
Yeah. Well, you gotta wait for it to develop and you might've done it wrong. You can't, whatever.
Polaroids
you
just are
delete
so fun.
It. You just throw it away, you know? Yeah. But anyway, so we were taking Polaroids. I had, her husband came home and I had him take some pictures of us. And we captured like the baby's first like loud laugh, like, ha! Like she was, something fell and she was laughing. Oh my God. I just started like crying. I was like, this is so, and then the Polaroid was so cute. I'm fucked. I want a baby.
That's not a fuck. That's good. No, that, it's, I know, good that you made the decision.
Totally. I guess.
Until next week.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, yeah. We'll see. Let go, let God, baby.
Someone throws a baby at her in the week and she goes, I don't want a baby anymore.
Fuck this kid.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so that's this week's update. And then I saw the Barbie movie, which I know you also saw.
I also saw it. I went alone Thursday night. I bought my ticket a week in advance. I knew exactly how I wanted to see it.
What'd you wear?
I wore a Barbie pink t-shirt, of course. I wore
a cute ass skirt.
Yeah, I didn't like, I mean, I like to still be comfortable in the movie theater so I can really like, if I'm uncomfortable, I won't be able to take in the themes of the film.
Plus,
it was like 10 o'clock at night and I just don't want to be like fucking walking around in a Barbie outfit by myself.
Wise.
It's not a good.
It's mean in these streets.
That wouldn't be a good area. Men were already ruining it on the way there. They were like, is that Barbie pink? And I was like, do men have to
fucking shut the fuck
fucking
up?
Fucking everything. They were so mad that this movie had nothing to do with them and they couldn't handle it. And everyone's been acting like babies because of it, because they couldn't handle that a whole movie was just about us and not them. Shut up. Wasn't about you.
No, well, I will say there was mostly women in the movie theater that I went to. I went with Donna and Diane. I was so happy I went with them. The theater was just filled with women.
Yes, as it should
groups
be.
Of friends dressed so cute.
Yes.
Everyone was dressed so cute. And I was like, I really love this. There were a bunch of men there and they were like good. I liked them.
They were
laughing at the right parts.
At everyone who brought their boyfriend to the fucking Barbie movie.
Yeah.
You're on a list. How dare you? Nothing sacred? Opening night? Ew.
There were some amazing moments that really Greta Gerwig, girl, she wrote the film with her husband Noah.
I was mad about that too.
Yeah,
that was.
I felt your anger when I saw that. I was like, oh, I thought just Greta wrote it. I didn't know Greta and Noah wrote it.
Greta wrote it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Greta's the only one that mattered.
And then I found out they've been married for like 12 years, which I didn't know. And then I go,
oh, you know that?
I don't even, not even a fan of you anymore, Greta.
He's made some great films, but she is a powerhouse. She's incredible.
Yeah.
I love Greta. The humor in the movie was so fucking funny. There was a scene, and I'm not giving away. It's a fucking comedy, so I'm not giving anything away.
But also, heads up, if you don't like anything ruined, we're about to talk about the Barbie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should have seen it opening weekend, because what do you not support women?
Idiot.
What, were you working at your job?
What, were you making something for your boyfriend? Fuck you. Love you.
Or are you doing laundry?
The movie gave you like a very clear roadmap to like the roots of a dumb bitch. Like how we kind of start going against ourselves.
And how it happens so quickly.
So quickly, but it can be dissolved also as quickly by just giving words, I forget the exact quote that they said, but I was so glad that they kind of went over it like this. It's like, you're under the spell of society and how you think about yourself and how you view yourself. And a very simple way to end that spell pretty quickly is to put words to what's happening, to the double standards that are happening to you, and put words to your frustration, you know? And so, and you watch them do that to these characters, and they're basically trying to like lure Barbies away from their Kens after Ken fucks up the Barbie land and kind of makes it more patriarchal after being in the real world. And I loved the montage of how they try to distract the men. One of them was saying, I've never seen The Godfather.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
And I thought every boy boyfriend I've ever had where I've said I've never seen, like, The Godfather or, like,
Aliens, a big one.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen all those movies. But, like, got any mafia movies,
Scarface.
They lose their mind. And it was so funny. I told my boyfriend that. I was like, oh, this one joke was so funny. And I thought of, he said, like, I've said I'd never seen The Godfather to him. He's like, what? And he was like, yeah, that is really douchey. That's like a douchey thing for a guy to do. And like, I never thought of it that way. I'm like, you didn't mean it as douchey. I'm like, I know I didn't. But like, hearing that joke that she made in the film, I'm like, that is kind of douchey.
It's also not a movie that we would like. I've seen The Godfather 3 times. Trash all 3 times.
It's not trash. You're not allowed to talk.
Yes, it is, Michael. I've watched it 3 times. It's not a good film. Everyone says it's about family. It's not about family. It's about fucking violence and people who don't know how to control themselves is what it's about. It's not.
It's about fucking tempers.
Three chances I gave that film. Three chances.
Yeah, not everybody likes The Godfather.
It's also trash.
Yeah, agree.
Oh, see, I disagree on that.
Snooze fest.
Very, very, but at the end of the day, to each his or her own, okay? But I also loved, there's a montage scene where they were trying to also, like, distract the Ken's attentions, and they were just the Ken was like, hey, do you want me to look at your, have a guitar and sing at you? And then they all started singing that Matchbox 20 song.
That was so funny.
Yo, that the first, like, 3 boyfriends I've ever had all did that.
Which is the song?
I don't know if I'm feeling good.
That's really
wait, no,
funny.
It's a push you around.
Yeah, no,
I want to push you around.
And I will.
Yes,
oh, my. And the way he was
also
singing it back
to the jam. And I did add it to my Spotify playlist after that. I was like, oh, I forgot
I
about
fucking
this.
Fucking love that song.
It is actually a pretty good song.
But he sang
a good song.
So all the Kens all had acoustic guitars on the beach.
That was so funny.
Looking into the eye, uncomfortably staring into the eyes of their girlfriend, their Barbie girlfriend, and singing it poorly. With very dramatic facial expressions. And I'm like, God damn it. Those are like my first 3 relationships for all that. And the girl was going, oh, wow. And pretending it was really good. And I was like, oh, I'm getting called out in this Barbie movie. But I loved, oh, this song is so good.
Oh, wait, I didn't mean to start playing it. Sorry. But I don't know
if I've ever been good. It's such a good song. But I loved that scene.
Really,
and I really enjoyed. So Donna was telling me about like the backlash of the movie. And I hadn't read about it.
Ben Shapiro's Burning Barbies.
Yeah. Conservative commentator Ben Shapiro drew more than 1 million views. And I'm like, is this why he did that? Does he actually think this? Is he that fucking dumb? I don't know that he is. An internet mockery for his YouTube video. Ben Shapiro destroys the Barbie movie. For 43 minutes. Oh, God, you fucking idiot. In which he opens by lighting Barbie dolls on fire and claims the message of the film is either you're a third wave feminist who hates men, truly hates men, or you're brainwashed. You fucking dum-dum. That is not at all. And then Ginger Gates, wife of Representative Matt Gates, called for a boycott of the film despite attending a premiere event all decked out in pink, criticizing the movie for neglecting to address any notion of faith or family, trying to normalize the idea that men and women can't collaborate positively, and for portraying Ken as not masculine. I thought those abs were pretty masculine.
That guy is the worst.
Well, because all these...
And his
wife
is too.
Yeah, all these idiot women showed up thinking that it was going to be like about like the 1950s doll.
Gotcha, bitch.
Which also is inaccurate because they go into the history of Ruth Handler and what her idea for the doll was. And conceptually, her idea for the doll was actually so that her daughter could see that you can be something other than a mother or a wife. And not in any way that those things were bad. She herself was those things, you know?
Yeah. For sure. And I was I talked about this on the podcast and I got some flack for it from people because I was trying to write a joke about how it's kind of fucked up that we give little girls baby dolls because we're just giving them the gift of motherhood.
And it's they address that in the film.
Exactly. And I'm like, that's the point I was trying to fucking make.
Wait,
but
what
better?
What were people saying?
Were
they men?
There were women. They were like, why would you say that it's fucked up that little girls get baby dolls? They love to be nurturing and they're nurturing. And I'm like, I didn't even respond. I'm like, I get where you're coming from, but like, you're just seeing my point from where you're coming from. And I don't care.
And also it's like, what, like, I'm like,
that's not the point I was trying to make with that at all.
But I
feel like you're giving them responsibility and you're glorifying motherhood, which is a beautiful thing, but like, they're fucking 5. Maybe give them a teacup instead of a baby.
Yeah, I was just listening to something and they were kind of talking about how women are burdened with caring for others from like the moment we are born through the things that we are expected to do and through things like that. Yeah, it's like, oh, here, you can play with a Barbie and like do fake laundry and work in your fake kitchen.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, all fine things if you want to do those things. I think people often like misinterpret what we're saying on the podcast. It's like, we don't need to reinforce the fact that like being a mother or wife is valuable. It's been reinforced for the entirety of society. We're giving people other options. That's what this podcast is about. It's the other options you have as a woman. The initial options of wife or mother have already been covered.
Yeah.
So but we're not,
you already know those are options.
We're not, exactly. We're not saying those are bad. We're saying, we know.
Let us show you the world of other options.
Yeah.
And you show, if there's options that we're not covered, and show us. Let's all show each other. But fuck off. You know what I mean?
So I really liked it. And I really felt she kind of like roadmapped, like, this is how women can be tricked into thinking less of themselves and that they're not good enough. And yeah. I really enjoyed that.
It was great. I there were so many great people in it, but I loved Issa Rae and it was so good.
Oh my God. She was so fantastic.
Good. She was
Margot like Robbie.
Standout. Besides Margot and Ryan, obviously, like to me, Issa Rae was the standout performance.
Yeah. Yeah. She was great. She was so fucking funny.
And, oh my God. Yeah. I'm trying to think. And I knew I was going to love it when one of the commercials for the film had the excerpt where Margot goes, she's like, you guys ever think about death? And I was like, oh, I'm going to fucking love this. Because I was so, because what's interesting about it is like, I don't know if you know, but like Diablo Cody was originally offered the script and she was like, I can't tackle that. I can't give you the movie that you guys want.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do this. And I was so surprised because I was like, it feels...
You think of like Juno.
Feels something perfect, obviously, as they thought for Diablo Cody.
Yeah.
And I was.
But Greta nailed it.
Like, I would love to see, like, I mean, not
Diablo's
that,
version.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, what, if anything, she got on paper.
She should do a Polly Pocket movie.
Mm.
God, Diablo Cody. Do that Polly Pocket movie, though.
What That'd was Polly cool. Pocket like?
I fucking loved Polly Pocket.
I did. I was
she
just
was
looking
so
for them
little.
In my
She
house.
Could only sit or stand. But my God, were her little pocket mansions just worlds of wonder that I would get lost in. And also the film made me think about like the role that Barbies played in my life. And I remember as a kid, I never had the women Barbies would always go shirtless. And my brother and my mom would always ask me like innocently, like, be like, why don't your girl Barbies have shirts? I'm like, well, if the boy Barbies don't have shirts, then the girl Barbies don't have to have shirts. And they're like, well, no, girls have to have shirts. I'm like, no, they fucking don't.
Not if they don't have nipples. Even Instagram would agree Barbie doesn't need a shirt.
True.
No nipple.
And I always like, it was one of the first, like, why this is a stupid thing about the world that I realized, you know, picked up on through Barbie. And I remember like I would have tubs and tubs of Barbie dolls and I would just get lost in my bedroom for time would disappear for hours, setting up little villages and little like
mine are still set up. I saw them this weekend.
I've seen them before. It's very immaculate.
They're still
and
there.
Very impressive. And like how you could get with the details and I would make my Barbies fuck. Yo, they would have crazy sex.
It's so funny because I really didn't do that, but as with everything, and as I said, I took it too seriously. So I was like, we can't have them fucking. They have to work at the McDonald's that we got.
Why were they fucking
right now? This place that isn't for fucking. It's to work at the McDonald's or to go grocery shopping. And why aren't we doing this?
My Barbies were fucking. My Barbies were playing board games. My Barbies were pulling pranks on other Barbies. My Barbies just have fun.
My Barbies ain't no were jobs accepting Barbies. Academy Awards.
That's cool.
They lived in great houses, but it also made me think it's interesting to me because even long before this movie, like people would often like equate Barbie with like negative things like her, you know, they're always like body shit. Like her waist is so small. Her boobs are so big. This isn't realistic.
A Barbie. It's not realistic.
And I go, and then to me, it's just like, it really like shines a light on how so much of the world you see around you is based on how you see yourself, because it's like not one time did that ever fucking cross my mind.
I gotta say,
the totality of playing with Barbies, and it used to make me furious. And I was like, why do you gotta ruin a fucking amazing thing with your insecurity and your body issues? And I know these are serious things, but it's just like, we don't
like you don't need to Barbie's project not trying to all your own problems onto everything else in the world.
Yeah.
Like I don't, that's not what Barbie was about, especially like knowing who it was created by now, which I hadn't even looked. I mean, I guess I knew in the back of my head, but I hadn't like looked into deeply. Cause like, think of how masculine I am in so many ways, but I loved Barbies and I never thought of them as anti-feminist or like body shaming in any way.
No.
In fact, like
it was a doll and I knew it was a doll and not a person.
And also like I feel like it, like Barbie got into like diversity, like not only as far as like ethnicity, but like wheelchair Barbie and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like so much sooner
ahead of everybody else.
Exactly. So it's like, why do we, you know, everyone loves to say that I'm negative. It's like, maybe you guys are fucking negative. Maybe that's the problem. Not one time was like Barbie makes me, it's a tiny doll. That's a larger issue.
That'd be like saying Polly Pocket makes me like, why isn't Polly Pocket more representative of like the way women are?
That's ridiculous. It's Polly Pocket.
She's for little people.
It's a doll.
She makes little people feel good. She's a short queen, Polly Pocket.
Oh, I loved Polly Pocket. I just loved dolls. I love dolls.
Yeah, me too.
But I didn't like baby dolls. I never liked baby. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Oh, the baby can pee and I got to change the diaper. From a very young age, I was like, the fuck is this shit? The one of them you could feed, the spoon had like cherries on it. And when you put it up to the mouth, the cherries would retract. And I'm like, that part's really cool.
I had the one that actually you fed the real like potion to, and it actually peed in a diaper.
Oh,
like,
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like all dolls.
Yeah.
Except for the weird porcelain ones that you can't play with. I had American Girl ones though. And those are kind of like ones you really can't play with because they're so expensive.
I play with them.
I wasn't allowed. I was in a house where like if it was an expensive doll, you had to just put it on a shelf. You can't be playing with it like that.
Is it worth something now?
Oh, it's not about being worth it. I mean, it was just more like ambiance. I don't know. They're still in great shape.
My parents had a collectible toy store. They would always say like they would always give me Barbies for Christmas, but I couldn't open like a couple of them. There was always a bunch I couldn't open.
Those are all worth things now.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, if they're still boxed and they're not sun bleached, then
Okay.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Some are worth more than others. I mean, you have to lift them up, but okay. I put some Barbies for sale in Perfectly Centered this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was very into it. I was celebrating Barbie.
Yeah.
Fashion. I did a lot of Fashion Fever Tokyo Pop ones. Those are rare.
Nice.
My favorite.
They're great outfits. Oh my God. Tokyo Pop outfits. Insane. Like a fish purse. Come on.
How you doing? Anything you wanted to add?
Oh, no.
Okay, cool.
My whole weekend was dedicated to Barbie and picking up dead animals.
Gorgeous. Well, the first part. guys, you know who's also gorgeous? Our guest. He's an Australian radio personality. He's been an MMA fighter, a boxer, a world record-setting skateboarder, a truck racer, a singer, and a beloved podcast host. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show,
Jason Ellis.
What will you leave behind?
A planet full of plastic and a burnout shrine.
To always slam it off our labor and gold.
Will we save it for the future or is our fate song?
Do margins matter more than the lives they steal? Holding every dollar, every penny, cause some more.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Yeah. I was hanging out with a bunch of guys for like an hour at a bar and didn't realize that my lipstick was so smeared. My bright red lipstick.
Oh, yeah.
I look like I fucking just got done sucking a guy's dick in a Chevy.
I was going to say, it's so hot, though.
Men never tell about
the lipstick. Oh, is that why they didn't say anything? Wait, that's hot? How is that hot? I thought that's sloppy.
Because you suck dick so hard that your lipstick came off. And
but it really was just me going...
I'm not using my brain. I'm using my penis with that idea. Oh, okay. Like I was like, okay. Oh, it's smudge. Whoa, what'd you get up to?
Wow.
Tell me some more about what's going on. I'm just trying to
maybe that's why they didn't say anything. I never thought that was even a thought that would happen.
They thought they were next.
Men are so
gross.
They're like
stupid.
Not mysterious. Yeah. But like that, I never would have thought.
Yeah, I know.
Never would have thought.
I live in it.
Wow.
I have to hear it.
And you seem to be evolving a lot.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
It's like my addiction voice and my chauvinistic voice. Now I have my own voice inside there, but it's still, those guys are all
like
still in here.
Celebrity death matching
each other. So I hear them all the time say stuff and I'm like, shut the fuck, no.
Yeah. And that.
Like, absolutely not.
Talking back to the voices, that's being an adult. So like that's being like an actualized human being that can be in the world. Like,
yeah, I learned that from my addiction where it's like, man, it's, you know, you suck. You should probably get a drink. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you're fat. Don't go to the gym. It's not worth it anymore anyway. And I'm like, no, you don't get to win.
Yeah. That's good. That's amazing. We were talking before the mics were recording. We're here with Jason Ellis. You have so many hats.
We're on.
And we'll talk about all the hats that you wear. Not literally and metaphorically, but you said something very interesting that sparked a story in my head. You didn't realize, you wouldn't have been able to point out when men are talking down to women until recently, or like more recent in your evolution. And you talked about an incident where somebody was talking down to a woman in front of you. And you're like, what the fuck? That happens when we had the super, when we were moving out of our old place.
Yeah.
My boyfriend came with me because the super was an asshole. And I was like, I lose my shit. I will lose my temper. I have the temper of a man with a problem. And I was like, you need to come with me because I'm going to lose it on him. And so he was talking to the super, my boyfriend, and then the super was talking to me and the tone shift. And my boyfriend was like, you're talking differently to me.
Yep.
Do you know that? And he was like 75. So maybe it's just an ingrained thing, but like,
So maybe wow. So the moral of the story is maybe he's never talked nicely to a woman.
I don't think so.
That's
but like
what,
the switch
that sounds
happened.
About right.
Everyone's just like, you know, it's a time thing. We didn't respect whores back in the day.
Surely women aren't human.
They were good for two
I've been disrespecting whores for so long that I don't think I need to change.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of what that is.
Yeah, we're just gonna ride this one till the end. All right.
I always wonder though, like, does porn, like if guys consume porn often, like straight men, does it change the way they look at women? Like, are women just walking holes?
See, a lot of people say that, but it's I don't.
Like, okay.
I don't know, but I think I'm definitely odd. So maybe if you're kind of – because I'm starting to realize that a lot of people are really dumb. Like I thought that maybe was more in us in general. Like most of us had the chance to light up and do something, but it seems like a lot of people are screwed. And they're not even trying to get out of it. They don't even know that they're trapped in a bubble of dumb.
Well, did you see that there was like a report not too long ago that most people don't engage in what one would define as critical thinking? So most people are just, as the Seinfeld joke goes, walking around, looking around.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying, but it explains a lot.
I think people have the intelligence in them. They're just too lazy to get it.
No one's inspired. No one, if you're not close to somebody that's doing it, then it can't rub off on you.
Yep.
And if you're only in a group of people that are just like, what's on my phone? Postmates, Fox News, phone, Postmates.
Go
like,
to
you
the
know
gym.
What? I'm too fat to fuck anymore. Like, I don't need it. I'll just get another Postmate. Like, it,
right,
and,
right.
And everyone's like, I agree. Like, I mean, like, I should get, let's all get Postmates and beer. And it, and then it's just like, and then you know what? Every day, let's have a kid. And that thing's just like, ah.
You're egging on the slaw.
Beer, Fox. You know what I mean?
And I don't love the attack on Postmates, but other than
I love Postmates. I'm, my fight is to get, because I can't, I got divorced and stuff, so I don't have like as much money as I used to.
Damn.
And I used to be a Postmates hoe.
Oh,
and wow. Now
she
single.
Took everything, including Postmates.
She got your Postmates money?
Well, I pay her, so I don't have Postmates anymore, because that's how much my Postmates used to cost me, a lot.
Whoa.
I was really high. And now that I'm single, very tempting to just be like, Postmates.
Mm-hmm.
But now I cook and I can't cook, which I went through a little bit of a depression getting divorced. Like, it wasn't easy.
Yeah,
I got out of it pretty quick, but at one point it was like, I'm home by myself and I cook stuff that's depressing.
Uh-huh. Like what?
And I'm already depressed. I'm like, I'm like having a really bad grilled cheese.
Can't
and I'm like,
mac and cheese,
this
right?
might be the end for you, dude. Like, you're useless. And then that's, and then I catch, I'm like, nah, that's addictive voice guy saying I'm bad again. I'm like, you get out of it. You can do it. Like, you can get some food going. And I figured out a couple of meals that I don't hate.
Yeah, there you go.
And then things seem to be working out a little bit, so now I can afford Postmates. Not a lot, but like every now and then I can get like some tacos. That's pretty cool.
That's
a highlight. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
So wait, do you have children?
Yeah, two.
Oh, two. Okay,
18 and 15.
When you pay, I always thought, I mean, women get the short end of the stick in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but not that one.
But I'm like,
they do,
what does the, if the woman.
Gotta get a prenup.
For the record, I don't get.
You're like Adele, no Postmates.
I don't get, I'm like the Beatles guy. I don't, if I love you, I love you. And like, if I get a prenup, that means I think I'm going to break up with you.
No,
so I'm not doing it.
That's,
and I don't care
changes.
About money. I care about love.
Well, you do when you want that Postmates.
I don't have any money. I don't have any money. I don't care.
But the thing is, like,
I was a millionaire.
I want
I
you to have
more
Postmates.
Depressed than I was now.
Right. I agree with what you're saying in theory. Like, I under like that. It's like preparing to break up. But the thing is, like, if you're entering into marriage anyway, it's a contractual agreement. So if you're okay with that, you should be okay with the part that's like safe for yourself.
Good point.
I am very, very pro prenup. And just in case you get married again, you can also do a post-nup.
I'm not.
But was I crazy? Did you or did you not recently like get engaged to someone else, or was I hallucinating?
No.
Okay, this is you.
He looks terrified.
Yeah. Okay, I thought
That would be, if I woke up that was real,
off.
I would be like,
okay.
Somebody gave him cocaine water.
You can shoot me now, or you can throw me off a building. I don't need to be here. I've got a bad intention. I want to ruin myself.
Maybe this was like one of those things where like an old Instagram post like pops up as if it's a new one or something. I don't know what the heck happened. So there's only been one wife and one divorce. And that's,
No.
Two divorces,
there's
right?
There's
three.
Three?
Oh,
this is my third divorce.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
That's why I know.
Do you pay all those ex-wives?
Oh, yeah.
That blows.
I gave a little one at the start, not for very long, and I didn't have a lot of money, but I gave her half for half the relationship. She used to beat me up.
Oh.
So that one was like weird.
Why did you give her money? That's fucked up.
How did she beat you up also?
Yeah, how do you? You're a big guy.
Well, because I'm a big guy, but I don't hit women.
So you can't fight back.
Okay.
Yeah,
if a woman's
so it used to be,
you.
Nah, I don't care. Yeah. Especially when you're way bigger. And I can take a lot, and she knew it. But she was a bit of a kickboxer, and her mom was a bit of a gang kind of person. So she grew up rough and had like a switch where she
clicked. An Australian love
and
story.
Get very violent. Yeah, Australian. And I used to smoke weed, and it was weird. When we met, I took a bunch of drugs. I was drunk all the time. But then she wanted me to be sober, and I kept smoking weed. Every now and then, I'm a pro skateboarder. I'd go smoke weed with my friends, come back, put eye drops in, and she'd be like, you high? And I'm like, no.
Oh, okay. So there, that was already
lying
like
to mommy.
Weird,
I'm a real bad liar too. Like,
right.
I know. Now. I just go, yeah, I did
Same,
it. Because
yeah.
I know that if I go, no, I didn't, like my face just says that I did and I'm done
you
anyway.
Feel like you're 3
yeah.
years old.
My daughter has the same thing. She's like, no, I didn't. Or she looks away. I'm like, what'd you look away for when I said that?
Game recognized game,
like,
motherfucker.
I don't, because I wanted to. And I'm
oh
like,
my God.
You're fucking lying.
Yeah.
I know you're lying.
Yeah.
But so that one was. I got beat up and I used to tell people and they would just laugh. And I thought they just thought that wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it turns out nobody believed me.
Oh, no, so, women definitely beat men up.
Because she was really hot and little and cute and she used to talk like a baby sometimes.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, huh? Anyway.
oh, Jason, he, you're not so
to
me, cute.
But to like, she'd say things to dogs and stuff where she was just she
well, had, like, talking baby like a baby. Voice. Okay, wait. Talking like a baby to a dog is normal, but that's fine.
Did she talk like a baby to you?
Yeah,
no.
Look at your talking, little hat.
Talking like a baby in other situations, not normal.
Come on, Jason, fuck me.
Oh God, I hate baby voice.
I might have been into that. That's Sorry. Weird.
Really?
No, but I'm. If one time, yeah, I want to do any of everything. One.
Why
time.
You want to do everything? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Have you done something that you're like, never again?
And also, I feel like maybe for like clips, you want to say, I want to do almost everything once.
Yeah.
Just for.
But I don't want to eat shit.
And other things too. Yeah. That's not even the worst of it.
What else poop. Is what's was,
like fucking, you know. Pedophilia.
Oh,
yeah. Oh.
Yeah. That's okay. Either in you or it's not.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want. Okay.
He
yeah.
Didn't even
I
want to think of it.
He's not a pedophile, but it didn't even cross his mind.
That was actually the guy hero. Who fucked pedophiles.
Yeah, I'm yeah, talking yeah. about.
You passed.
Oh, my God. Get me out of here. I'm talking about adult stuff.
We're defending you, man.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Pedophilia is adult stuff for half the
Ew.
Party.
Okay, as a person that's been raped a bunch of times, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I guess you go one way or the other. Right. I went the other.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Like if you rape good. Kids, I kill you.
Nice. Right.
That's my motto.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, gotcha.
Good motto. Okay. Don't if you rape kids and you're in my
vicinity.
If I can get you.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I will end you. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to jail. Why? Because the raper guy was right next to me.
Yeah.
Somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, what's wrong with you? Anybody that's near them, kill them.
I just read that Larry Nassar, that gymnast who assaulted.
Yeah, he got stabbed.
He got stabbed and he's in critical condition. And I was like, it's really shitty, but I'm so happy that happened because, boy, I watched those testimonies.
Yeah,
I
don't feel sorry
for you. Those girls suffered.
But anyway, I came home one day and I was living with another skateboarder. And
hell yeah.
And I came laid on my stomach and started playing video games in the living room with my buddy. And she comes in and she's like, what are you doing? And I had sunglasses on, so I didn't have any eye drops.
It's like Bart Simpson.
And I'm playing on my back. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing video games. She's like, why you got sunglasses on? And I was like, I don't know. Just playing video games with sunglasses on. She's like, take your fucking sunglasses off and show me your eyes. And I'm like, there, are you happy? And then I put them back on and started playing video games, and I guess my eyes were bloodshot. So she comes over and just starts foot stomping me in the back of the head.
Oh my God, that's terrible, Jason. Yeah,
and I remember watching my friend's feet run up the stairs to his room as my head was bouncing off the ground with her kicking it.
Damn.
Yeah. So he was like, dude, that's not cool. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
She
should go to anger management. And then I think she went to one. And then I was on DC, shoes and stuff was still a skateboarder, and the whole team got flown to Aspen,
mm-hmm.
and we all had rooms next to each other. And I went to a signing, and I was supposed to be back by midnight. But instead, I was back at 2 because I got drunk after the signing and danced on the dance floor like an asshole.
Sure.
So I come back in the room, and she's like, what are you fucking doing? It's 2 in the morning. I was like, and I don't usually do this, but I slipped. I was drunk. I was like, fuck off. Because I was drunk.
That's what you said.
I think saying fuck off is fine.
Also, I went to dance with friends because last time you kicked me in the head.
Well, I wasn't thinking fair. That. There was That's like fair. A gap between those things. But I didn't even have my eyes open. And she ran up and kicked me in the nuts.
Oh.
And dropped me to my knees. And then she kicked me in the face. And I've been knocked out a lot. I've had a lot of concussions, so I know what it's like. So as soon as she kicked me, I hear the warm, fuzzy sound.
Ooh.
Like every the room, it's like, I can't really see. And then I start to come back, and as I'm coming back, she's got me by the hair.
Ooh.
Punching me. I had hair. Punching me over and over again. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then she stops, and then I go in the living room, and I sit on there, and I go turn on the TV, and she goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, sleeping on the couch, going to watch TV. Get the fuck in the bedroom. And I'm like, okay. And like,
damn.
I already analyzed this now that I'm me and was like, wait, she said get the fuck in the bedroom and you did?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was wrong with you?
Yeah.
So I go to sleep. I wake up. My pillow is covered in blood. Like, I got pretty fucked up.
Oh, no.
I go to get in the bus to go to the mountain the next day, and this photographer for DC, really nice guy. I never liked him because he wasn't a skateboarder.
Great guy, but I fucking hated him.
Well, I knew he was like a normal guy.
Right.
And
okay.
I don't like – back then, I don't like normal people. Like, you don't fucking skate, dude. Don't talk to me.
Right.
It was a – I'm not saying it's right. I'm just
saying. It's a young guy move.
That's what I was like.
It's like a guy who thought skateboarding was a crime.
And he goes, can I talk to you for a second? And takes me off to the side. And he goes, hey, man, I'm in the room next to you. I heard what happened last night. Oh. I know you're a big guy, but that's bullshit, dude. Yeah, you need to leave her. And I was like, leave her? And he was like, yes. Like,
wow.
Wake up, man. Like, that's fucking abuse. Like, if it's the other way around, the cops should come. Like, you need out of there. And then I
what a bro.
Told her. I was, yeah. And I just knew he would. I didn't think he liked me either because I was such a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this guy's just saying it because that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And he's giving you the truth. And it's interesting. Like, abused partners, regardless of the gender, like, have the same thought patterns of, like, not even considering leaving a place that from the outside is so obvious. Why wouldn't you leave?
I was pretty sure I was so annoying that I deserved it.
Yeah.
That's what I, because I was like, you did things. You know what I mean? Like, you look at my phone, you text somebody. And I was like, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, some Olympic gymnast was into me at X Games. And she was like,
fun.
Some Russian, you know what I mean? She was like, I cannot go. My coach is coming. And I'm like, what Great the Russian fuck man. Is happening? Like, this, she's a coach who won't let me see her. So I was into her, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got caught texting her.
When you divorced her, you were married to this woman, right?
Yeah.
For how many years? Paid her money?
I still paid her money, but it wasn't only, we're only married for 3 years, so I just paid her a year and a half. And then I got, then I was like, I don't want to get married. I'm very annoying, so I don't want to have a relationship. So then I had a girlfriend that we just played video games and had we had a lot of fun. And then she got pregnant. And was like, I want to have the kid. And I was raised to, you know, I was like, well, if that's what you want to do, I'll do everything I can to support it. You know me, and you know that I'm probably going to be a bad dad.
What made you say that?
Because I'm irresponsible. I was a child. I was doing coke. I had like an 8-ball under my seat.
A lot of parents do coke.
Okay, well.
Well, how old were you at this time?
Like.
He's going to be like.
28, okay. 30, okay. Something.
I think it's that young, like 35 or something. Be like, I was just a boy.
But 28 is still.
I was old enough.
Your brain's fully developed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was still living like a child. So when that happened, I grew up.
Yeah.
I stopped doing hard drugs.
Nice.
Because I was scared to be a bad parent.
Yeah.
And then I copied.
Dad of the year.
She had parents that were good parents.
Right. Nice.
So we lived with them at one point.
Oh, that's good. Help.
And I copied them, and I learned how to be a parent through all three of them.
You need a role.
Just
you
watching
need an
them,
example.
Like how you do this, how you do that. And then over the years, because my parents were, I don't want to say it.
They
my
tried
dad
their
had
best.
A really bad temper.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there was like, you know, you would get hit or you get yelled at for like little things and made me flinchy and scared of confrontation.
Yep.
And that's in me. You know, I mean, if you rub me the wrong way, I can explode.
Yeah,
so I've been
I was
going
ask
to therapy and all that stuff. And I did. I've been working on myself really hard to try to not be that guy because that I'm awake now. And when that guy shows up, I regret him so much.
Mm.
Like even when I talk, like when I get angry, I talk like my dad.
Mm.
I sound more Australian. I say cunt a lot, you know what I mean? Like, and it's dangerous. Like when I start saying cunt, if you want to go, like if I meet someone that's like me, we're going to have a straight on, like a full on brawl.
If it gets to
and
that
it's
level.
Embarrassing to know that I could go there. So I'm really, you know what I mean? If people, my son taught me a lot. He's helped me a lot because of my road rage. One time a guy was yelling at a lady at a light and I opened the door and I was like, hey, get your fucking head back in the car, cunt, or I'll knock it off. And he was like, fuck you. And I was like, oh, yeah? And I went to get out of the car, and my son was in the back, and he started crying.
Oh.
And he was like, Dad, please get back in the car. And I've been in fights with my dad in a car where he fought a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I was in the car screaming, crying, except he fought them all at every light for like half an hour. People were in other cars were like, stop, it's a kid in the car. And my dad just kept fighting these four guys until he worked them.
Whoa.
So damn. I caught his face. And it all flashed back, and I was like, oh, my God. And just got back in the car, and I was like, I will never do that again, dude. Your dad's got a temper, you know what I mean? And I'm going to work on it, and I broke it down to him. And then maybe a year or two later of going to therapy and stuff, somebody cut me off. And I was like, hey, fucker. And he's like, fuck you, bitch. And I went. And I started rolling, and my son in the back goes, nice, Dad.
Oh,
And I was like, what? And he's like, that was real. I saw that. Like, that dude needed to be checked. And you didn't, Dad. Like, good, it's working. And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. And then my daughter was also like, yeah, good one.
Oh, that's
and
I remember, so good.
Positive I was like, reinforcement, there you go. Yeah.
It's a lot of energy to stop the cycle.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. But, like, I imagine seeing your little, the little boy in your son's eyes.
That's what it did. Yeah.
That's a time warp for, like, okay, not even a question. I gotta stop this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, I nipped that.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Are your parents still alive?
Nah, my dad's dead. My mom's still alive. She just had a stroke the other day. She's gonna come see me in October. I haven't seen her for over 10 years.
Wow.
Because I went on a Stern show, talked about my molestation stuff. I wasn't really sure. Like, I was when I was 27, I took a bunch of acid and a bunch of meth after a demo, and then I was at a pool party and the pool was closed and nobody could get me out. So I was like, I would like hiss at people if they tried to touch me.
Oh, okay.
Like I'd Meth gone. Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So everyone was scared and my girlfriend at the time was like, I'll watch him. So then everybody was like, cool, see ya. And they left me there in the hotel pool while she watched me talk to an invisible person. And okay. The invisible person told me that I was molested by my father. And I was in shock and crying and talking to this invisible person while my girlfriend was watching the whole thing.
Wow.
And then the next day when I woke up, I remembered it a little bit, like pieces of it. And then my girlfriend at the time called my mother because my father, I think, had already – no, he hadn't. No, he was alive. She said, oh, God, I thought he forgot that.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like – my girlfriend tells me that in the morning and I'm like, wait, what?
She thought that it had been resolved by you forgetting that you were molested.
That's what she told my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, that at least gives you confirmation that these like that so was, you couldn't go. That am I crazy? If you
that
tried.
Was when I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah,
because I would never have thought that I was that guy at all. Like no one told me that, and I don't remember that. And I'm 27. Thought I'd figured out that
the
I wasn't
child
aware
brain.
Of the scarring of. How a brain can hide stuff because you can't handle it.
Survival.
Because that's what I thought. I think it's that. I think by the time I was 27, I was like, I'll give you a little bit, but I'm not going to give it to you all.
Yeah.
And then when I was 40. So like I heard that. I knew that. And I remember saying it's my father. And then my mom goes, no, you thought it was your dad, but it was the neighbor. It was my neighbor. He babysitted you and he had red hair. So we kind of figured out that it was him, not your father. And I was like, well, what did dad do to that guy? Because I've seen my dad – smash people, like end them for little things. Wow. Like he had a temper.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, did he kill him? And he's like, no. He like, you know, warned him.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, what?
Huh.
And then I go back to my dad's house and I see him in the morning and he's like, how's it going? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And he's like, you think he got molested? And I go, yeah. He goes, you think it was me? And I go, nah. And he goes, oh, okay. And then that's it. We
Whoa.
Never spoke about it ever again.
Wow.
And my dad was not good at sharing emotion. Like, he never said he loved me or anything. I knew he did, but he just couldn't do it.
He didn't express it.
when I got the first time I got married at the wedding, he said he was proud of me in the speech. And that made me us fighting tears so fucking hard because that's the nicest thing. And it's not, I'm not trying to be like, oh, poor me. It was just like, he couldn't do it. He couldn't get it. He was built different. Like he was raised in a way where it was just like, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
I feel sorry for all those people.
Because when you have a moment like that where you're experiencing genuine love between a father and son and you realize you've never experienced that before with your own father, you're like, oh, wow. Something so
like
simple
this,
is
I'm
so
trying.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I'm trying to show him that I'm worth something.
Wow. And he passed away. Damn.
Yeah, so he died. And then when I was 40, I got married my second wife and we had two kids. And then I had a life coach who said, because I was like, I think I'm going to cheat. Like I was talking to trans girls and I was like, I'm definitely not straight. Like something's up because I'm doing everything in my power not to sleep with these trans girls that I know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to crack. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And he was like, you need to sit her down, tell her that. That'll make it easy for her to leave you. And also, if you tell her that before you do it, then she doesn't have a reason to flip out and make your life hell. Because trust me, divorce with kids, she can wreck you. And I was like, okay. So we sat down and I told her and she was like, okay, bye. And then because I'm so used to a woman in my life, like, because I didn't have a lot of people around. I didn't discover this then, but now I know. Like I'm a baby. I want someone to take care of me. So because I don't know how to take care
how
of myself.
Straight man of
yeah,
you.
No, I was like, this is very straight man.
That's just what I thought. Yeah. You know, like well, how am I going to feed myself? It's like you came to America when you were 17. Like
That ain't nothing.
You can do it.
Yeah,
But I didn't think I could. So then I regretted it, wanted her back.
Oh.
Went through hell because
of that. Did you say I take it back? I don't want to fuck trans women? Or did
No. I think, well, because then I went to rehab and then I did like some hypnosis stuff.
Ooh.
And that's when I realized this is bad. I mean, it was good.
I've had it.
What was the hypnosis supposed to do for you? What was the
I thought it was going to be about my brother died in like a really bad accident. And it was like something that, okay. That was the person that I was most connected to in Australia.
Fuck, so strong.
And he was going to come to America and then I would try, you know, he would drink and I got him sober and I, you know, he was on the right track. And then like all these people partied and they stole a fucking steamroller up the, I have a house in the mountains and they hot wired a steamroller and two of them were in it and the others were in the car. And I think my brother was on the front and this guy was driving, but then the car drove off and they were like, where'd the steamroller go? And they come back and it's gone. They went off the cliff because they were knocking poles off on the side of the road.
Oh, my God.
And instead of the pole tipping, it bent and the steamroller went and rolled off.
Oh, my God.
And broke his neck, died instantly. He's 24.
Like, he was on the right track.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like I was about to go home for Christmas.
Mm.
And my father died like the year before on the mountain, pedaling up to the top of that mountain, trying to show my other brother that he can do anything he can do, which
holy shit, Jason.
So he died on the top of the mountain. So now I'm back on this fucking hill again.
Oh, you
burying another fucking relative in the same year. And it's just like, it's my other brother's shattering because those two are like both full brothers. That's my half brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved over here. Like I was always trying to get out. I never made any sense in that family. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't blame my stepmom for not being the hugest fan of me because I was fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I was like crazy and probably rubbing my brothers like they were influenced in a bad way. But I also don't want to take full responsibility because I got my crazy from my dad.
Right.
And he was in the same fucking house. So I was just a
– I like the crazy when it's your father but not when it's you.
Yeah, but I understood her angle. It's like you're not even – you know what I mean? If you went back to your mom's, I could have this family, you know what I mean, with these two great kids with no scars because they're unscarred and make it work.
So what did this hypnosis reveal to you? Because you thought it was going to be about your brother's death.
Yeah, but instead it was about the molestation and who did it and the face and the dick.
So did you I did hypnotherapy to recover molestation memories that I was like, I don't know if this is true or not. And the memories came clear. They were pretty clear. And the one guy, one of the incidences, I was like, I don't know who this guy is. I just know like generally what he is. But I was able to successfully disassociate from the memory. So I almost watched myself experience it, but I wasn't like upset, which I was kind of shocked by because I'm a very emotional person. Did it also happen with you?
A little bit, but it was still scared. But that's when I had another vision of been in another house when we were doing a little bit. My father started to make some money and I had my own bedroom, and there was a heat lamp that would come into my room. It was like a big circle, like the orange glowy thing. Mm-hmm. And I was under the bed holding onto the mattress strings with my fingers and my toes. So I pulled myself off the ground. So I was like under the mattress holding onto it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is that? And why am I so scared of it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I felt like it was my father, mm-hmm. but I didn't know.
Right.
Then, because I'm trying to fix myself. So now I did MDMA therapy.
Yeah.
With the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was the worst thing ever because, well, it was good. But just to know that it was him and the things that happened to me.
Yeah.
It's just so fucked. It's just not right. You know, like I don't know why anybody would do that to anybody. But
yeah.
In the end, I remember holding onto the springs, and the lamp got right over to me, and I was like, please stop. And then the lamp went away. And then my mind followed the lamp back to the bedroom where he realized what he was doing was hurting me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so you guys I felt like he didn't know he was hurting me until right then when I said stop. Mm. That's what I came up with, which is also like, I want this not to be real.
Right.
My other brother doesn't really, we don't talk anymore. Like we talk a little bit, but
because of this.
Yeah. Cause he was like, no, he didn't.
And but I was like,
I'm like, you don't even know anything about dad. Like,
yeah.
Did you know that he was doing live sex shows before he died? Like, no, none of you know this.
Oh,
I fucking know because I was older and the guy that worked with him told me after he died, cause he was a cheater.
Right.
And then he finally cleared it up. But it turns out when he finally cleared it up, he wasn't cleared up at all. He was doing like, he owned like half a sex shop or something. He was doing.
It sounds like he might have been molested too. He's hypersexual.
His dad,
that temper will do it.
Yeah. Tried to bang my auntie.
Uh huh.
So
your grandfather molested his daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't be surprised that she did it to dad too.
Right.
Yeah.
But because my grandfather, before he passed away, he transitioned to a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I came back from America one time, my dad picked me up at the airport and he goes, guess what fucking jock is now? And I'm like, that's my granddad's name. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? He's like, fucking woman. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, fucking tranny. And I'm like, oh, whoa, crazy. I'm like, why are you angry about it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, can you believe it? And I'm like, yeah. But I mean, why are you mad?
Right.
Like, I was so confused as to why. I'm like, I still would talk to Jock.
Yeah.
Like, whatever her name is now, I would talk to her.
Sure.
Like, I don't understand. Still my granddad. Like, I never had that hate, you know?
Well, I wonder though if your dad was molested by.
I don't know, but I would bet on it because Jock was a weird guy.
Yeah. Mm.
I shouldn't be saying names, but whatever.
It's
they don't like me anymore. I don't know. I feel bad about it.
The thing is, though, it's wild. Like doing this podcast for over a decade, molestation is so prevalent, and you got to talk about it. Like if it's happened to anybody on the show, like I would, you know, obviously don't if you don't feel comfortable. But if you do, I think that's a gift because it's wild.
You got to get it out.
Everybody and like,
I mean,
if
it's happened to you, you've got to face it. That was the same with the ayahuasca. It just wouldn't let me.
You can't run from it.
I couldn't run from it. It just kept showing me the worst parts. And I was like, stop it. And it was like, we're not stopping. Like, we're going to keep showing you this until you accept it.
Yeah. And you feel, and you feel for that little boy who is hurt on a level that is incomprehensible.
Which brings so much anger.
Right. And I was going to say that's where the temper comes from because you're so mad that that little boy had to go through that.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the first time I realized it happened, I had that urge to just fucking kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you need to find another way
right.
to get this out because you're going to ruin your whole life. You know, and at 40, I felt like I'd already done it all. And I'm like, you're going, I feel like I'm 12. I have like a 12-year-old's like rage, you know, and I'm like, I have like two kids, an ex-wife. I have a business to run and I'm about to fucking lose it.
Blow it all up.
And I really was like desperate for help. And that's when I was like, I'll take anything. I remember being so scared of ayahuasca. I didn't want to do it at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's my next. I want to do that.
I had to do everything I could to get happy.
Yeah. Did you do it in like Peru or did you do it?
No, I had somebody from Peru come to my house for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So 3 days. Just me by myself.
Did like you a private shaman experience?
Did you do it once or did you do it? It was the integration.
3 days in a row.
Well, 3 days in a row. Wow. Yeah. And what was that? How did you feel after?
Good. I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, all of a sudden I come out of it and I'm like, I'm fixed.
Right. Yeah,
the medicine stays in you. So to me, it's like a voice.
Yeah.
Where the decisions you make or the reactions you have to things, it tells you why you're doing it and kind of like slows you down. Like you're doing this because of your childhood. You know what I mean? Like this person is not your father. This person just cut you off, or you know, like it's not the same person. You're going from 1 to fucking 11 because
you're so seeking justice.
Because you're ready to go to 11 at all costs. You want to go to 11. You're living in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made me realize how angry I am and how I need to get it out, you know?
Yeah.
But
what do you do for fun?
Fuck.
Because you're sober.
Yeah. Well, I smoke weed all the time.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you're LA sober.
Yeah. Don't say that, please. I really like Los Angeles, but that one's bad.
Well,
why is that?
Because it's just not, it's not like LA is the only people that do that. Everybody, no. Like, if you drink, you get messy. You yeah. feel like shit. You're hungover. You can't go to the gym the next day.
Weed is not destructive.
If you take shrooms, you're kind of enlightened. If you take a lot, you kind of laugh and giggle. If you take a lot, then you fucking go to another dimension. You wake up like kind of smarter.
Yeah.
It's never really bad.
Oh no,
and in weed is like, you know what I mean? Don't
you just eat.
Don't do stupid, like don't get angry. Like I don't get angry.
Oh, totally. For
you
sure.
Know? I'm weed like, is... fucking you have it. You know?
Stoners are sharers. Yeah. You don't get mad. Like I had a year of being violently suicidal, and like what saved me was smoking weed in the morning, which I never did. But I'm like, thank God that this drug exists and I have access to it, because it just makes me go, just fucking relax.
That's what I do.
Like, yeah.
It just helps.
Yeah, I'm a fan of LA sober.
It makes me nice to people.
Yeah.
Or not, you mean more understanding. I like, hi, Jason.
So how do you seek out pleasure sexually now versus before all of these?
Yeah, that's a good question, because thanks to therapy, there was a time there where when I started doing gay stuff, and my wife showed me the Grindr app, and then
she showed it to you as like to egg you on, like,
yeah. That's how I came out, because of her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, when I first met her, I was definitely not interested in being married to anybody, because I was paying my ex like more money than
so wait, is this a second wife or the third wife? Okay.
And she was like crazy tattoo chick, and mm-hmm. she taught me about blood play. She like slashed my arms with razor blades and suck on the blood, yeah, and then spit it all over me. And
hell yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this chick is evil. Like, this is so cool. You know what I mean? She seemed crazy.
Yeah.
So I was really into it. And then I had a calendar of trans girls, because one of the trans girls on my show gave it to me.
Yeah.
And she goes, what's this? And I'm like, it's a calendar. She said, are you into this? And I'm like, maybe. And she was like, really? And in a way where it was not like, really.
Like,
it was
that's kind of hot.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's unpack this. And I'm like,
yeah. And she's like, would you fuck him? And I was like, yep. And she's like, would you fuck a guy? And I was like, yep. She's like, that's so hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so hot.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We can hang out.
Yeah. Let's get married.
And then she kind of, pushed it on me. And then she had a few friends that knew. And mm-hmm. then I had like a little community of where Jason could talk about getting sucked off by a guy.
You could be yourself. Like, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
made fun of me.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like this ain't so bad. Mm-hmm. And it also made me feel like I got something off me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was wait.
You feel lighter.
I think I'm supposed to tell people who I am really.
Yeah.
Because I've been hiding this.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when the Stern Show said, the last interview I ever did there, they were like, do you have any? They asked me all these questions before I do it, and then they go, is there anything else that you would want to say? And I was like, yeah, I might be bi. And the guy was like, I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah. And I was like, oh, here we go.
The producer started jacking off. You're like, this is a gold mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jason can come back for sure now. Yeah, so then when that came out, and I wasn't sure who molested me. I thought it was my grandfather at one point.
That would have made sense.
I just couldn't say that it was him.
Yeah.
It just, I looked up to him so much.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Like,
rough.
That's the person that I looked up to the most in my mm-hmm. life.
And a lot of times abusers make it such. Like, they make you their hero in a way of, like, in a combination between the abuse and, like, also, like, acting like a father figure, a leader figure for you, so they have more control. And you're like, wait, so was that real or was that not?
I don't see him as like fucks. I still don't believe it as a plan. I just think it's a reaction, because I think that's how I was. With these guys, I was just blowjobs.
Yeah.
But I would just pick, it was funny, I would pick like small, there was a time where I picked small Asian guys because my dad lost his business at one point, and there was a small Asian guy that bought it, and he was really mean to my father in front of me.
Oh wow!
Oh, so like revenge.
I'd face fuck him and then get the fuck out of here.
Oh, wow!
And they like, but they like that. This is not a thing that I started. This is a thing that they. Guys would come over and just want to suck me off. Yeah. And I'm like, what is happening?
They can relive something in a safe situation. That's why kink is really, it can be really therapeutic because it's like, let's play pretend here, but you have to earn trust before you play pretend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to. Like, and then if you think about it, it's a more safer environment than just meeting a guy at a bar and drunkenly fucking him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, kink community is very mindful of rules and consent.
But anyway, my therapist broke that down to me, and he was like, you're trying to relate to your childhood, you're trying to get your power back, the people that molested you, you're trying to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that, boy, did that take that away. Like,
this isn't funny anymore. I was just gonna ask you, it made me vomit.
Like, just the thought of it.
I was gonna ask you if going in therapy made certain sexual things less fun.
Fuck yeah. It ended that.
So you found new fun things.
That's how I broke up with my wife, because then I started to want to have a connection with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So my ex and I had a thing where I could sleep with people. Boys are easier to sleep with when it comes to, oh, you're married, but I can still like blow you.
Right.
Cool. A girl's like, you're married? Like,
yeah. They want a whole conversation. They don't believe you. Yeah.
So then whenever I would meet a girl that I would start to like and sleep with, my ex didn't really like that.
Yeah.
Even though the only way she could sleep with another guy was because they had a mental connection.
But that didn't threaten your sense of safety in
sometimes
the relationship?
Sometimes it did.
Yeah. And so were there ground rules about that though? That you couldn't form an emotional connection? Or, I mean, it's kind of like you can say that, but then how can you actually prevent it?
Yeah.
It
I mean, it's only your job to stop it once it happens.
I don't think we discussed it enough how things evolved. And then I got way gayer.
Right.
Because I started to open up to it and accept it, and then meet some gay guys, you know, like butt fucking. Like, I'm like, the first time someone said, "Can you butt fuck me?" I was like, "Fuck off, it's so gay."
Right.
And then I was like, maybe I should try it, you know? And then I was like, he looks like he's having fun. Maybe I should get butt fucked.
Yo, you got a treasure trove up your ass.
And then I did. And I was like, wait a minute. You can have multiple orgasms from getting things in your butt?
Yep.
Dude's
welcome.
Yeah. Jason. I'm like, welcome. I'm not giving this up. I'm in. Like, I'm going to be a butt fucking maniac. Like, teach me more.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because there was a point in the podcast where I was so too pro guys getting something up their ass. Cause I'm like, my boyfriend at the time was like, found a prostate stimulator. I found a porn video of a guy using it. And he's like, that looks fun. I'm like, let's go.
Cause it is. Yeah.
Let's go. And I watched him. And I was like doing stuff to him while he had that in. You see a man come and you're like, wait, this gets me off. This will be my spank bank for the rest of my life, how hard you're coming. And I'm like, I can't believe why would you not do this activity because you're like, it's kind of gay. Who gives a fuck?
It's in my stand-up. I say it. I'm like, you know, I'm out here. Like, I learned how to wash my butt out. Like, I got like this metal hose thing on the shower. So I just wash it out super quick and easy. And then, you know, it's only a couple people that I trust that do it to me. And I can have, like, I'm having orgasms that I can't have any other way.
Yeah. So I love that you have a butt fucking rotation too.
I love that. Yeah.
But I can't.
A couple close butt fuckers.
I feel like when I first tried to get a finger in there, I could tell that it was a barrier of straightness. Mm. And that if I have jokes about it where it turned into a straight wrestler. Because I was like trying to get a finger up there, and I was telling my butt, like, hey, butt, just let it go, man. And then my butt's like, fuck no, like, exit only, because that's what straight homophobes say.
Sure.
And I was like, wait, what? What? You're my butt. Like, let me in. And it was like, no, dude, if things go in there, you're going to have the gay. And that's bad.
The gay. Wow.
That's how I said it. I'm just trying to explain it to straight people. This is the easiest way to do
it.
No,
I love it.
But I could feel it. Like, if something goes in there, I'm being a girl. Mm-hmm. Something's effeminate about me. This is being penetrated.
Right.
But then when I finally was like, just let it go, it went in easier.
Mm-hmm.
And also, once it went in easier, I was like, wait, what was that feeling? That's new. And that's good. Like, that's a new, good feeling. Keep going. And then I'm like, okay, something's happening now that's never happened before. The first time I make a joke about it, like, girls have multiple orgasms, and they say that they don't know how many times they come. Uh-huh. Sometimes I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never analyzed it. I was just like, good for you, yay me. as a guy that comes one time, you think you would have analyzed that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But when this happened and I was like, I'm coming. And I looked down, no jizz. And then, and then again and again and again. And I'm like, okay, I officially don't know how many times I've come. And then I came. If and you guys don't want to do it because you think it's gay, you're gay.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm the fucking man over here because I let things up my ass and I have like seven jizzes in one jizz. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you're a homo, Ellis. I'm like, dude, seven jizzes sleeping like a gay baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck you guys.
I always found it so funny that certain men who are homophobic equated homosexuality with like femininity, where I'm like, that's one of the manliest things you could do is a man fucking another man.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I also feel like the more I get fucked, the more I know how to fuck. Like, it makes me better. Like, all the BDSM stuff I've done and all those things have taught me how to be nicer, or if I'm going to be firm, like, how to do it in a way where it's not
order painful, people around in a fun way.
Penetrating people without just shoving it in there, fucking straight dudes.
What are some tips from that? Yeah.
Once one dude in my earlier butt-fucking career did that. And he had a decent dick.
Oh.
And I pulled away and my hand clinched like I was gonna punch somebody. I was like, oh,
your fight or flight kicked in.
Oh, don't ever do that. It was like some pain that like I felt it in my forehead.
Oh yeah.
Like
your third eye was
your future lifetimes. He ripped my third eye.
Oh. Yeah. Your next life you're gonna have a weird thing with your butt and not
but
know
then
why.
Every time I ever put my penis in anything, I baby it. Because I'm like, I don't want to ever be that person.
No one it's never good to just go
but it made me realize like there were times in my younger day where I for sure did that.
Yeah.
Oh, every woman who sleeps with men have had that happen to them many times. The jackhammering.
I was just about to say jackhammer. Come on, Kyle. Lay off the monster and like feel it. Like fuck her soul.
Yeah.
Don't fuck her pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you still sleep with women too?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Good.
I still love women the most.
Yeah. Good, as you should. Thank you.
I still like to, I was telling my manager, like, if a hot girl walks by, I try not to look at her because I don't want to be inappropriate. But I have to tell myself not to.
Yeah.
If a hot guy walks by, I don't have to tell myself not to look
the fuck
at
you
him.
Want. Yeah.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but when it comes to sex, when we're all naked, it's pretty hard to, you know, beat a hard dick. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's
so
and
like
it's,
trans girls and guys too now. Maybe more. I think trans guys.
Well,
is
I imagine
my
trans
thing.
People are like very in touch with their body because they've been through an evolution with their body. And it's like, you're like really present.
Yeah, to me, there's like levels, like skateboarding and fighting and stuff. Like, it's, you know, you got your stock people. And to me, it's like, you know, you're like, you like soap shoes and Heelys. And then there's like, you know, people that like skate on the weekends. And then there's pros.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The level is like, no, they ain't playing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you know, you got stock people in bed and you got people that like a little kink and then people that have less inhibition, like, because to me it's the what if someone sees, or what if someone tells somebody that I was into this? Mm-hmm. Like, it's in yeah. their own head. Because I've yes. had sex with a couple of straight normal girls lately, and I'm thinking to myself while it's happening, why did you want to do this?
What was wrong with it? It's
just, they're not in my, they can't, they're not in my head.
They're not present?
Mm. They're not there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, I really want it. And I'm like, but I'm here.
Right.
Like, you're just taking it for the story.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like, I think a lot of women, like, that's why a lot of women, especially in their 20s, will like get drunk before they have sex almost every yeah. single time, because they don't know how to enjoy it and be present.
Yeah.
It's tricky to be present. It's very vulnerable. Very vulnerable.
It is. But if you're not, to me, if you're not there, I'm not. Doing yeah. it.
You're fucking
it doesn't
adults.
Make any sense anymore. It's like jerking off almost now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
you're not with me. You're just like, did we do it? Was it good? I'm like, what do you mean, was it? You should have been there.
Oh, yeah. Asking if it's good to me is like, so it feels so like they're being performative then, yeah. you know? Because just like, yeah. well, you should be able to know how it was for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just know that I've always been good at knowing who's going to be good in bed with me.
Oh, so you've, yeah, usually have good calls with that, good radar.
Yeah. I don't nice. Go for textbook. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I say that, I like girl's the weird stunning. Guys. And I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
I know what that's going to be like in bed.
Little fish.
Wait, dead you fish. Can tell by just looking at someone or by a small fuck interaction?
Yeah. Looking at them.
That, really?
Yeah. Well, you take in their energy when you look at them, I
yeah.
imagine.
You yeah. have like a Google image search, or you have to see
nah,
them in,
nah, in
okay.
person. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I see. Yeah. So when did, and when, how old were you when you started actually having sexual interactions with men?
Well, I had a couple of things that happened when I was really young. It's weird. I got unless it, yeah okay so once yeah, I not, got not, to about I think once I got to about 14, there was a one of my skateboard buddies blew me out of nowhere at his house.
Wow.
His mom walked in.
Oh,
he like turned around, like acted like he wasn't sucking my dick, and I was just sitting there like and she's like, sandwiches are for you, come out please. And I was like, she saw it.
Is that person gay or?
I don't know.
We don't know?
I don't know him.
We don't know him.
It was
anymore.
A long time ago.
Men are so much I was more fluid than they allow themselves yeah. to be.
Then I had another friend. I don't want to get too into the story because people would figure it out, but I was around 17 and he blew me in a jacuzzi with no warning. No, we were best friends.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And, you know, remember we were not sleeping with women. We were, you know, somewhere where that wasn't, we were skating.
Right.
And there was no girls around. And I was like, okay.
Next best thing.
I yeah. just let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never really thought much about it.
Yeah.
And I guess a couple of times we blew each other, yeah. maybe three times all up, something like that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't live anywhere, we didn't have our own house. It was just like a thing where when we weren't talking and then he'd start to do it and I'd be like, yeah, okay.
I guess so. Yeah.
I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
And then I think the first time it really happened was a trans girl. I took a bunch of ecstasy and I was at a big dinner with a bunch of other skateboarders in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And this big tall girl comes in and she's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
She looked like Elle Macpherson.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She was real tall, supermodel, like lanky. Yeah. And I'm like, damn. And she sits down across the table from me and everyone goes, this is so-and-so. And she's looking at me and I'm like looking at her. And she's looking at me and I'm like, okay, it's on.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's already
yeah.
on.
It's already, already fucking
I'm like,
in your
I'm
eyes,
like, this too. Is like really happening. She's like, do you want to go? And I was like, yes.
I love that.
Nice.
And I had a girlfriend at the time and we had an open relationship and I was like, I'm going to go. She's like, yeah, yeah, go on.
Oh, nice.
And then she ended up, my other skateboard buddy was like, oh, he's going with her. Then I could go with you because we used to swap sometimes.
Nice.
And she'd already got sick of him and she was like, no, I don't want to do that. So he took that as fuck me. Many years, I think like 2 years later in America, he decided to not be my friend anymore and tell everybody that I fucked this person. And I denied it
mm-hmm.
because in skateboarding at the time, people said, hey, man, I heard you're a fag.
Really?
But I know it's not true because I know you and you hang out with like all these chicks. Because I was a womanizer a little bit. Like
yeah.
I was a dude's dude. Like mm-hmm. I skated very aggressively. Like I was more manly than most of the men of skateboarding.
Mm-hmm. You were shattering this version of masculinity that these people were probably clinging to.
Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I denied it. And there was a few people that said, look, man, I mean, I know you're not, but if you were a fag, like we wouldn't be cool. Know that. And I was like, yeah, whoa. Obviously.
Mm.
But then that knowing that I still wasn't sure what I was.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say I'm gay. I mm-hmm. couldn't say I'm bi. It wasn't the word yet.
Right.
I was just like, I do stuff sometimes that's kind of gay. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I want to marry a lady. Like, I want to have a
sure.
baby. You know, like, so it was very, I was confusing as to what I was. And,
yeah.
I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. All I did was yeah. deny it. And it got so heavy that the guy kept saying it to people, and there was like altercations. My friends were fighting his
friends. Oh my God.
So I moved back to Australia and retired because I couldn't take it anymore.
Wow.
So I kind of ended my career. I got on heroin. Like,
Yeah,
I did heroin.
When you suppress a part of yourself like that, turn to drugs.
Is and it, I, when I lived in Australia, there was no pro skateboarders. So nobody went to the ramp with me. And I was by myself all day because anybody I knew was either dead from heroin or had jobs. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing at like 12? And they're like, I'm at work, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, oh,
animal.
Man, that's got to suck. You know what I mean? I'm just smoking weed, trying to get some ecstasy. Like, it's like, I got no job. I get paid to skate.
Yeah.
And then I started doing heroin. I just get hookers because I get drunk, go to this real sketchy place where everyone's a junkie. And I would get a blowjob for $50, and then they're like, you know, I started to realize they're all on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's this heroin all about? Let me get some.
Yeah,
what you got in the syringe?
So she taught me how to chase the dragon.
What's that?
You put heroin on foil and you light it underneath, and you got a pen in your mouth, and you just suck the smoke up.
Okay.
So that would get me pretty high to the point where I started vomiting. I would go to a parking lot on the beach and smoke it all and vomit, and then go back to the house and act like nothing happened. And then I had enough. I hated my life so much. I was like, I'm getting two hookers and I'm going to let them inject it. I was like, hey, you know, you guys want to, and they're like, because I was like, can you get some heroin? And they're like, are you a cop? Because I didn't know it. I didn't know. I didn't say smack.
Too eager, too dorky about it.
I was just like, yeah, I was just.
Hey guys, you have a heroin?
Hey, you two ladies got a heroin? And they're like, no. But eventually I convinced them and I had a bunch of money with me and I got heroin. And I remember thinking like, they're not going to shoot me up with a lot because they're going to want it.
Mm. Okay.
But I couldn't do it. They had to do it, but I was fucking one of them while the other one injected me. And I remember going, oh, wow, you know, this is really happening. And then I'm gone. I'm gone.
Well, shit, huh?
Yeah. And then I wake up up against a kid's playground.
Oh.
Asleep in the dark in a park. That was a lot of those. But I woke up, like, so I was out. So I could have died.
Yeah.
And they dragged me to this park. And when I started to walk out of the park, I realized where I was. And it was like, you don't want to be there.
Mm.
And it was like 4 a.m. and I'm just an unconscious kid. Wow. Up against this wall, and then I reach my wallet. My wallet's empty, so they robbed me, and somebody dragged me out there to die. And oof. I was like, okay, that's it. You need to not do that ever again,
right?
So I never did heroin ever again. And then that's when ESPN were like, hey, do you want to do some stuff for X Games?
You're like, great timing because I just quit heroin and I was like, you
know
what?
I think I'll go back to America. I think the dust settled from the, you know, is he gay thing.
Right.
Because that guy had started to kind of drop off a little bit and people didn't care as much. And then I got a whole new career, started hanging out with, that's when Tony and I knew Tony Hawk, but we went on tour together and it was a really odd friendship where I was like, you're tweaked. Because he was kind of into, he told me, I don't know. He was like, you know what a cat in a bathtub is? And no. I'm like, no. And he's like, man, I have it in control. He's like, what so is you it? Try to put your dick and your balls in the pussy.
Oh, I've heard of that. I just didn't know what's called that.
I didn't think he. I didn't even know. I don't say he's done it. I just that he thought that was funny made me go.
It's funny. It is
a little freak. I like you.
Go, man.
Yeah. I like this guy.
Yeah. That was a really, really bad way to explain how a friendship came.
No. Became, but now, if you're fucked up though, and you meet somebody and they say something, you're like, and you thought they were like a little clean cut, and they reveal themselves to find that shit funny. I'm like, oh, you're my brother now. You're
That's what happened. Yeah. So we became really good friends from that, and then things started to turn around again.
Wow, what a journey.
What a life.
Is your temper good? Does it still come up?
Well, except for when he's around Lewis.
Well, I have a temper.
I don't have a temper around Lewis.
I have a temper.
I was
online a little bit.
Good point. Yeah.
It's okay. Everyone has a temper. Yeah.
But the difference is I called him after it and said, I lost it. You don't understand. Like, I've been training for this
thing. Everyone was on your side. We've all been there.
And you're lying to people saying you're pulling out because your knees hurt. Like, you don't want to fight even though you picked this fight.
Right.
And I spent 2 years, like, I don't play that game. Like, if I'm going to fight, I don't care how good you are. I'm ready to beat the best guy there is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not beating me. Like, this is one time. Like, you're getting white. And more so, I'm going to make a thing about you. Like, people are going to be like, don't pick fights with Jason.
Right.
Like,
right.
it's not a game. Like, yeah. if you fight me, you're going to get really hurt.
Right.
And yeah. I was like, I don't want to do that. That's the other thing. The older I get, the less I'm into that. Like, I used to, when I first started fighting, I had a lot of anger. My coach was a very violent man.
Oof.
And I thought that fighting was like, I fought to knock people out every Thursday and Friday. You know, so I knocked people out and then went to work. So it wasn't a big deal. Like, I didn't think that I was hurting you. I didn't know about CTE or CTI or whatever, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So then, you know, things evolve. You get to know. And I'm like, wait, that guy's mean. Like, I don't want to hurt people.
Yeah.
And then when I got really way older, the last fight I had, I was like, you know, I'm training and doing jiu-jitsu and learning things. And it's like you get to a certain point where if I pull this a little further, I'm going to rip your arm. Like, I'm going to break your arm.
Yeah.
And I remember my coach going, you think that the guy that gets your arm is not going to do that? Like, this is a fight, man. Oh my God. And when I realized that, I was like, ripping my arm to shreds seems like really over the top and unnecessary.
It's self-destructive.
Yeah. So, you know, and then it turns out in the fight, like at the very end of the fight, he beat me up in the first round, almost knocked me out. Didn't know where I was for like 2 minutes.
Jeez.
But then I got back in it. And at the very end, I got him in an arm and I started to tear it and things started to pop.
Oh.
And I said, tap. I screamed at him, tap, tap. And I had to keep pulling it.
Because he wouldn't.
And it was so funny because I told somebody that story that I just told you, like the thing that made me really realize, like, this is no joke, you know, like you're going to be permanently injured from this.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is going to be happy about it. Like, deal with that. And then there I am, and this I can feel his arm popping like a tree branch. And then he just started screaming. And he didn't tap. He just screamed to the point where the ref goes, that's a verbal tap.
Yeah.
And you win. But I won with like 2 seconds left in the end of the whole thing.
Jesus.
But that was, I don't want to fight anymore. But yeah. Lewis was like, I want to fight. And I'm like, Lewis wants to fight because Lewis wants to know what it's like to be a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I love that because that's why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
When I started pro fighting, I was like 38. It was way past my prime.
Oh.
But I wanted to just feel it. And then I've also had fights with some famous people at Ellis Mania that are like high-level UFC guys where I kind of knew I was going to get my ass handed to me. But I wanted to see if I could like give him a fucking
just
run.
Hang.
You
know what
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, maybe there was Kyle Kingsbury was like a UFC. He was like, he's like 230 when I fought him. I hit him a couple of times where he was like, Jesus. And I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, that, you that's can what finish, you needed. Yeah. Finish me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just know. You know what I mean? Like, if you fuck with me, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
And that's all. I want respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. I want to win. I want your respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shane Carwin knocked me out. I didn't stand a chance. I did terrible against him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, you are just fucking crazy.
Right.
Like, you were like, like, knock me out.
Right.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm trying to, let's go. Let's live. You know what I mean? Let's go full tilt on everything. And Lewis was trying to do that. And I was like, I'm a perfect guy for you.
Yeah.
I'm better than you. And if you beat me, that looks awesome for you.
Right.
And if you get beat by me, it's not that bad. I'm better than you.
Right. Sure. Right.
And I respected it. So I wanted to give him that opportunity because somebody gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
But then it turned into he said, she said, and then I got skanks hate. I'm like, what? I love Lewis. He backed out of the fight. I'm angry about it. Fuck you. You know, like.
And you're allowed to be, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be pissed
but
too.
Like I said, I did apologize and I do regret that. And I told the Jay about it and everybody. And we ended up patching it up and being friends again because, yeah, that was totally inappropriate. And I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I really
the guy who
did.
Came out.
Yeah.
So how do you earn respect now? Like if you're not fighting, if you're not, what's your approach for earning respect?
I don't care about it.
You just don't care about it.
Yeah. It's wise. That's how you earn it.
Yeah, I respect myself. That's what I work on. Work on every day having a reason to respect myself because that guy's still in there, that addict. You're a piece of shit. You're amounting to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I fight him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do great things every day. So that helps. You know, I wake up in the morning. I'm like, you suck. I'm like, do ya? Check your Instagram. Does that look like a guy that sucks? I mean, how many hot bitches did you plow this week?
Wow.
And how happy were they?
We were about to end on something so poetic.
Sorry.
And then we wrapped it right around.
Hot guys, too.
It's a perfect reference.
Everybody's happy.
Everyone's getting fucked by Jason Owens.
You're going to go.
And they're going to come so many times. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, in between. You're coming multiple times.
Sorry.
Because I will earn your respect.
Sorry.
No, that was perfect.
Amazing. What an episode. Plug whatever you want to plug.
The Jason Ellis Show. It's free. It's a podcast. And then Hawk versus Wolf is a podcast I do with Tony Hawk. And then I have Patreon because I do five shows a week on there.
Wow.
And that's patreon.com/ellismate.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and if you go to thejasonellis.com, you can see my comedy dates because I'm a fucking comedian.
You do have, you really do it all. You
I'm
do
so
it all.
Pumped on that. That's my favorite.
You do, yay. You do everything and everyone. And that's a little the bit point, about right? You.
Yeah.
You're a real man of the people.
Slip into my DMs, world.
Yeah. Challenge accepted. You're going to get a lot.
Wow. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut-Shamey Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Bye.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary. Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.